Hot Take Point Made is brought to you by who? If you watch my shows, you'll know it's Esports Bet. And they still run their classic what? First time deposit bonus of 50% on up to 200 USDT. Now let's get into the show. Right, this is going to be another episode, the second of Hot Take Point Made, which in time will get easier to say, because I did notice when I tried just like sprinkling it in on the shows, I think I did fuck it every single time and say like hot point take made or something. I don't know, whatever. It'll become catchy. Everyone will be saying it at the playgrounds. It'll be the new thing. It'll be the thing all the Zoomers are into. But anyway, I actually think the pilot episode we did, the first one, actually came off about what I hoped it would. Maybe even slightly better, actually. Like, I actually think once we got into the groove of it, people got the concept. I don't know still if fans actually still understand the premise, so I won't do that whole preamble, but I will just say in a very short manner. The point is, since we got the two elements, the hot take and the point that you make, the premise is we can sort of have fun with how hot the take is, but in theory, the point could, to some degree, cool it off a bit and make it more reasonable, if you know what I mean. So all I'll say is, spoiler, that is how I intend to use this show. So the joke is, like, if people don't know, one of the reasons I did think of this show was that classic one. I don't know if you remember this, Cassandra. It's probably, I still think it's the most, I'll give credit to Pimp. I think he came up with, simultaneously, the silliest, but in some ways the greatest analyst desk topic ever. You know the one where Simple was mega hard carrying Na'Vi online back in the day? And Pimp did, for real, say it on the Blast desk. He goes like, because to be fair, every topic had been talked to death with that team. Like, we'd already done them all, you know. Like, so he literally just goes, I think it's about time we asked, is Simple the problem with Na'Vi? And I just remember thinking, like, look, as a point, there's so many ways in which I think that's stupid. Like, I could attack it. But I'm like, in some ways, if you wanted to, like, craft, like, Inception style a sentence that would just, like, destroy the brain of every fan, that might be it. That might be the greatest take of all time. Like, and so all I'm saying is we just aspire to those heights. That's all we even dream of. I'm sure we'll just be coming with everyday common and garden hot takes. But one day, one of us will utter a pimpess.
One like I got that today. It's going to be good.
Oh, here we go, Kieran. So do you want to start us out, Cassandra? You got the first one?
I want to save that one for the second one. But so the first one goes, half of the credit goes for you because you gave me a proper like idea. And I think you were somewhat right because I was thinking about it later just because of this show. And the idea is Na'Vi is not the best CIS team anymore.
There you go.
That's the one that I think you tweeted at some point. And I was like, oh my God, this is spot on. Yes. Right. So basically, when we look at Na'Vi and the 2022, what they won just one event. It was a Blast Spring Finals in June, I believe.
Yep.
And other than that, obviously they had Cologne and Major and everything. They're the second place, but overall, that's the only victory for them in the 2022. Meanwhile, you have Cloud9 who won Dallas. You know, a couple of high placings as well, and then we have obviously Outsiders who won the Major. So it's a battle up there. I don't think we can say that Na'Vi right now is, you know, number one position in the CIS region whatsoever, considering the turbulence they had in the last 6 months, especially with bringing in the new guys and the six-man roster and the failures they had. And, you know, they have the best player of all time, and they are not the best team in their region right now.
Yes, I'll actually say, because this is like, that's why I did the tweet as well. I would have used this point, but it's okay, you can have it. It's all good. Because it is a banger.
I gave you 50% of it.
It actually does fit the criteria of the show really well, if people don't know. Because initially, it sounds like such a hot take, doesn't it? Like, what the hell? Like, you know, it's one thing they're not doing well, but they're not even the best CIS team now. Because obviously, the joke is, even a month ago, they were supposed to be in contention for just like best team in the whole world, you know. Like, everyone still did. I noticed we're all lagging on that. Everyone still, even to Blast World Finals, was like, and then of course, Na'Vi would be like second best team. It's like, actually, that take never survived the player break, boys. Because I was thinking just in the last few months since the player break, think about the tournaments we've had. The joke is, if you compare Na'Vi and Outsiders even had, like, in theory, the same number of tournaments because they did, like, ESL Challenger Rotterdam, which no one really cares about. But, like, Na'Vi had Blast 4 finals, for example. The Outsiders didn't. But they never made the finals of any of these tournaments. So at Pro League, they were both in the same spot. They were both quarters teams. In fact, Outsiders could even say we lost to the team that won the tournament. So they could even potentially argue they could have gone further. At the Major, obviously, it's easily Outsiders. And then you come to Blast World Finals. Like, it really gives a fuck about that one. It's not like Na'Vi was going super deep anyway. It's only like one place up in the tournament. So the joke is, if you look since the player break, at least, it probably should be outsiders. They won the... By the way, here's the other reason why them winning the Challenge of Rotterdam thing doesn't even sound that bad anymore. They had to beat, like, Mouse Sports in the semi-final. Well, magically, Mouse Sports is a major semi-final. You know what I mean? Like, you've got to have it one way or the other, guys. Either the actual good teams at the major are good, in which case you like the major system, or they're shit, in which case, stop saying the fucking major was good. It's got to be one or the other. So I agree, mate. I actually think, logically, if you look at it, if... Look, let's be real. It's more of a critique of Na'Vi that they're not the number one team. It's not like outsiders destroyed them, but I sort of agree, because I think actually right now that to me, this is why we can have a convo about him coming on at Maui, is to me that does just highlight how much fucking trouble Na'Vi's in, because they look fucking bad right now. I think they still look bad. They never, like, just think of that period. They never came back from the player break, Mick. They never came back as the team we all remember.
Well, just look at the wins and losses that they had at the World Finals and compare it to outsiders, who I would consider to be the one that's above them. I think that's a pretty safe call at that. But Na'Vi lost to Liquid. Na'Vi and Outsiders both lost to Liquid at this one. But it's not even, like, the way that Outsiders lost to it versus the way that Na'Vi lost to them, it kind of actually felt like the way Outsiders lost was, like, They kind of gambled with that Anubis pick. They actually did really well against Liquid on Inferno. And then you think of kind of the way that Na'Vi played against Liquid. And I think Na'Vi actually could have done better in this series if they didn't use that NPL guy. But the fact that they're using him is just... That's already a case against Na'Vi being good. Like, this guy, if you put all three of those CIS teams back to back to back, and you looked at the 15-man lineup right there, you would say NPL is the worst player by far. So you got... Sure, you have the best player in the whole CIS region maybe right now, but you also have the worst amongst tier one teams. So I think that also, just look at the teams that Outsiders lost to. Even though they came in last place at the World Finals, they actually lost to the two teams that were in the Grand Final. And, like, say what people will about G2 or Liquid and what they, but they were the top two teams in terms of placing at this event. Maybe you could say that FaZe was better than Liquid, but to lose to G2 and Liquid in particular for Outsiders is not actually as bad of a loss as it looks, as the last place finish there. And so, yeah, I'd agree that I think Outsiders right now is the better team. If I have to bet on a team to go farther in, like, a big bracket right now, let's say it's just a 32-team bracket of all the top teams in the world, I would say Outsiders probably is going to do better than Na'Vi in that bracket.
And Na'Vi has a lot of issues to fix in the break, right? First of all, Electronic cannot be the IGL anymore. Obviously can't. One of the reasons, let's give it an example of Nuke. They were the most dominant team on Nuke since Astralis back in, 2019. They were so good. And one of the reasons they were so good was Electronic outside. And he was creating so much opportunity, so much space for the team. And now he's taking the IGL. You can see it on Nuke. His game, his playstyle has changed. His impact has changed. Therefore, their best map is just in the garbage bin, right? The map that there was a signature map for them in the past year or something. So, first of all, he needs to, go back to being a player. I don't think he's cut out to be a IGL for Na'Vi, at least. And then Bit needs to get his old positions, rather than playing these new ones on certain maps, and that's how they can get onto the right track and, back into the contender kind of area. Because if you look at the season, from August, they played, what, 6-7 events? Not a single top four finish in this, like, Pro League or a Major and Blast, and, it's just the RMR, which they were first, and the Blast Premier Fall groups, which they were, like, top three, and that's it for the second part of the season. Really, underwhelming. So, they have a player break right now. I'm sure Blade will, come up with something, and the shuffle may be going on right now as we're talking. But definitely some problems they need to solve. And Outsiders, obviously, who won the major, are probably the best CIS team at the moment.
I just looked it up now. If you look specifically just on Nuke, then if you go last year with that LAN period when Na'Vi was unbeatable, Electronic on Nuke had a 1.23 rating, which is unbelievable. Now, in the last 3 months, he has a 1.03 rating, which is, that drop-off is enormous. Like, you're not going to recover from that. Especially as, I agree with you as Orcasad. There's another reason why these moves actually end up completely fucking Na'Vi, because it wasn't just you brought one player in. The role swaps and what they did to the team. Well, one of the problems is, when you're the dominant team and you have a dominant map, you've built your whole game plan on that. Like, now you're always going to get that in the series, and you can do this, and if the other person plays Nuke, great. Like, then now they have to, like, if they dare pick it, they're fucked. They're going to leave it in. Like, when you take that out, that one plank that comes out, it's why also, if you look this year, mate, Na'Vi's been scrambling since that map disappeared. They've tried to embrace Ancient, they've tried to go over here, and they've been trying everything, mate. They've been trying everything at this point in time. No, I'm with you. Do you remember we were to another one? Maui, have you got a good hot take for us?
Yeah. I got one that I think that is going to probably upset the status quo for what people think about FaZe. Is that I think that FaZe is still a team that's scary. I think they're a team that you shouldn't be counting out to potentially win a tournament. But if that slip starts to come, I think that the change that they need to make is going to be to take Rain out, and it's going to be to put in Frozen. I think that's going to be the move that reignites FaZe if they start to actually hit a slippery little period. Because I think that Frozen has shown this year that, one, he's one of the best aggressive riflers in the world. And two, that I also think that when you look at Rain and his performances after Cologne, he did pretty well at Pro League, but everything else was pretty, I'd say, kind of just average. I wouldn't say that it really popped off the page. And it just does seem like when you think about the longevity of these players, you look at the ages of some of them, you obviously have this incredibly young core in Twists, in Brokey, in Rops. You have Kerrigan, who's an essential piece to this team in being the leader. But for Rain, he's 28 years old. He's achieved pretty much everything I'm sure that he sought out to achieve in his career at this point with how well 2022 went. But I do think that one guy that's shown to be incredibly hungry and that already has synergy with FaZe in terms of he's played with Kerrigan, he's won with Kerrigan, he's played with Rops, won with Rops, is Frozen. And so I think that this is just a match that's going to actually continue to extend the shelf life of this FaZe roster and also probably rejuvenate a lot of the people on it, because you look at this Mouse team right now and they're coming up with stuff that I think like is showing more innovation than what FaZe has lately. I think FaZe has shown maybe on one map on Anubis that they look pretty cool lately, but other than that, it hasn't looked too special for me. And I think that Frozen would be a guy, just kind of how Rops breathe some new life into that lineup. I think Frozen would do the same thing if they need to make a change.
You know, I agree with you. I would sign off on that one immediately. But in the spirit of the show, right, I'll do you one even better.
Come on.
How about, I agree with the first part where we, you know, take out Rain. You are obviously right when you said like 28 years old. I've been saying he has an expiration date as a player right now. He's achieved everything. He was good in his time. He's still solid, but not on the level that you need to have like, you know, continuous titles one after another. And if you take him out, I would put in Config. And that is where you get the aggressive.
That's a pretty spicy
rifle
one too, sure.
Yeah, you get Config in there. He's the aggressive, much more aggressive than Frozen. Frozen is like semi-aggressive type of a player. Like, for example, Yuri. And, you know, he's not the guy who's going to be charging in like the first one, like, for example, Yekindar and Config or players like that. And if you put him in, you're going to have, like, obviously, we have Kerrigan, who is also Danish. And if someone knows how to get the best out of the qualities that Config can provide in a team, it's Kerrigan, right? Because of his experience, because of his countrymen and everything else that comes with it. So him being there, obviously we saw him in the Blast that he played all right, more than all right. He actually played pretty good with Heroic, so he can still do it. I don't know about his mental state. He says that he's fine, he's back or something. I don't know if that's true or not. That's a whole different matter. But if you put him in instead of Rain for, let's say, from Pro League or after Katowice or whatever you want to do it, just to get the right timing for the Major and everything else that comes after it, that would be a spicy move for FaZe, and that would take them to the next level. I do agree also with the Frozen pick and the fact that he's also super hungry, and the point that you made that he was playing with Kerrigan and Rops at the same team, and they were winning together. So there is a potential for that to actually be true, but I would probably risk it myself with Config.
I actually like both moves. Like, I have to say on the Frozen one, it's a good angle, because as you say, there's obviously like he's somewhat like Kerrigan's used him before, and in fact, even you'd see the evolution of the player, so you could use him differently. I also think as well, the problem Frozen had in Mouse was, I actually just think like he is the player he's going to become. Like, I don't think he's going to become some like Nico or Carry type guy that people hoped he would. Like, he's just really good at his position. Now, he's not like a top 10 player in the world, probably never going to be in my opinion, but he's just a good player. So I agree. I even think this move would work. And the Config one is super spicy, not least because I did always say way back in the day, it's why famously one of the stories I always tell is the two teams I think fucked up on Kerrigan like two different times is fucking Team Liquid and North. It's like North, because like bloody hell, you're Danish, you morons, your rivals have Glaive, like how are you not like literally just sending blank checks every month to Kerrigan, like come and help us win, but for some reason they didn't. In fact, there's even a story that I won't say who it is, but someone in North passed on Carrigan, even looked like, nah, we're not interested. It's like, brilliant. You're that person should have a fucking plaque somewhere just so they know never to be hired ever in any esports org again, you know, like, that's right. You passed on him a few years ago. I guess his best was done, right? And then the other angle, obviously, is could have been in Team Liquid or something. One of the reasons I also wanted him to be in North a long time ago was I always thought this is exactly the player, by the way, I wanted to play with Carrigan Config specifically, because I always thought, mate, if you're an IGL like fucking Carrigan is and you like a loose style of play anyway, imagine having a tool like that. Like, you know when people use the analogy, like the tip of the spear? That's like the fucking pointiest tip. That's the one you'd want. Like, that's the sharpest one where, yeah, just like he does with Twist now, that's the one where you can't just tell the guy, like, run in there and kill two people, and then they do, and then you look like a genius, like, brilliant. Yeah, that was my idea, actually. Like, that's every IGL's dream, spoiler. Like, even though then they always give the credit to the star player, so I think that would be an interesting move. Also, let's be real, it would be in keeping with the history of FaZe Clan. Like, a lot of people will forget this. Famously, this actually ties in. We're back in 2017, before they got Olofmeister and Guardian. The same thing happened. They bombed that major, PGL Krakow. And people forget they were like the second best team in the world, and they still gambled to get Carrigan and Olofmeister. And at the time, if you remember, the Olof one especially was like a slight reach, because it was like, really? He hasn't been that good in Fnatic. But at the time, I remember Carrigan told me, he was like, yeah, but the problem with that move is, when you see it on paper, how can you not do it? If you know what I mean? Like, he was like, he even said, I totally get that in theory, like a superstar team like that shouldn't work and shouldn't win. But he's like, if someone does offer you, though, it's like being Man City or something. If you have the money, you're going to keep buying all the great players. It doesn't matter, even if you were the best last year, why not just get even better? And obviously the dream is maybe you actually are the guy who unlocks it all at the same time. Because I think the same thing. Who knows how it would work with this particular lineup? But if you somehow got all the players who currently play the way they did, and somehow you could add Config as well, yeah, that would be like one of the most terrifying teams you could ever play in Counter-Strike.
Just look at it from the financial end of, you know, aspect of the thing. You sell Rain to, let's say, Apex to go play with Jakim, end of the career move, you know, playing in the domestic team. I think he would do it. And you sell him. Apex has money. You can sell him pretty for a decent chunk of change. And then you get Config, who is free. Yeah, you don't have to pay anything. How good is that? Like, it's a win-win situation for them. And Config is younger, and he's sharper, and he's obviously more motivated, I think, right now. Sure. And then you get everything. Obviously, you get the bad side of Config, too. But, you know, that's why you have Carrigan, who is the oldest guy there. And you have, obviously, the org behind you and everything that you can do to actually fix those things and deal with them. But I think it would be a sick move.
Oh, by the way, as well, Kassad, to be fair, of all the people, I even think Robban would be a pretty good coach to maybe keep Config under contract. He's exactly the sort of guy that you might respect, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he's Nordic as well, the Swedish guy. I mean, he would understand, he understands the culture, the mentality and everything. And obviously for Maui, for Frozen, I think Maus would ask for a lot of money, and I think FaZe would pay it.
Sure.
I think Maus won't let him go without like 700k or something.
Yeah, I mean, I think like a little addendum to this point to make it even hotter is that actually I think that what Frozen did for this team was, for me, much more impressive than what Rops did last year for Maus. Like, I think that the amount of winning that came along with what Frozen was able to provide for Maus' this team is basically why I'm saying that. Like, if you look statistically, they basically perform the same, like 2022 Frozen versus 2021 Rops, essentially the same statistics, but the fact that Frozen's actually being aggressive, creating opportunities, becoming like that star rifler for them that's very consistently taking them deep into tournaments, like this Maus team from 2021 was not making it to, you know, the semifinals of a major. Like, that just seems so unheard of. And so yeah, that's kind of a little bit of an extra take there. It's just like, I think that even if you kind of like go one-to-one on a lot of the players on the team, like, you might think the team got a lot better, but if you just look at stats, the team didn't get that much better. Like, Dexter's pretty much the same player. If you compare like Rops to Froze, like, kind of go like one-to-one on all these things, like Rops 2021 versus Frozen 2022, the second best guy for Rops in 2021 was Frozen, and the second best guy now for them is kind of in the air. It's kind of maybe Torzy, and if your second best player is Torzy on Maus today, do you really think that's a team that should be getting this deep in tournaments? And I think that just kind of is more of a testament to how good of an individual Frozen is.
Here's the thing. Yeah. To be fair, it's probably just because we all just saw Config playing Heroic. It looked really good. And even like the team looked good. Because the spoiler, I'll just spin it into my hot take, which is a Config-related one. And here it is. This is a legit hot take, because obviously this has hurt people's feelings, my favourite kind. I think Heroic should actually for real sign Config, but not for Staun, obviously. I would just find a way. I don't know if it's Tessus and you move people around or whatever, but if you could make Staun and Config work in the same team, because the problem I've always had with Heroic, in my opinion, is two factors. One is I do think actually they're slightly under firepower for the elite level they want to be at. If you want to win the big tournaments, remember, this is an era when actually Na'Vi isn't on top and some of the other squads are a bit more dodgy. Like, if you ever get to an era when, like, Na'Vi and Simple are super fucking next level again and FaZe is fragging out, like, you're going to have a hard time if you're Heroic. You're right on the edge. And then the other angle as well for me is, this will sound mad, but all the negatives that people don't like about Config, I actually think would be good in Heroic, because Heroic's too far the other way. They are the team of, like, they just look like the ones who all do their fucking homework and they're in bed by 9 p.m. like, oh, can we have a story? Like, they're, you know, it's like that shit. Like, here's the joke, right? That team just looks like fucking Cadian's just like whatever Donald Duck, and then all those fucking whichever the one was that had all those nephews like from fucking DuckTales, you know, one where he's just looking after them all. Like, it's too wholesome. Actually, put in a guy who's a bit of a dickhead, put in a guy where it's like he adds a bit of spice. Because here's the thing, I actually think one of the things I like about Config that says he's got some balls, mate. You actually want a bit of fire in the belly like that. I actually think as well it balanced the team out to some degree. I know this sounds mad, I'll come up with a theory, it'll be something like the designated asshole theory or something, like every team needs one, you know, and then, yeah, there's something there. I'm not sure. I'll think that separately. I'll focus group that. But I think that spoiler, I do think you could probably make about 50 hot takes. Like, every team just needs Config, like Vitality, Config, G2, Config as well. Like, you know, like the joke is if you add Config to any team, apparently it makes the team better. But what do you think of this hot take, guys?
You know, Vitality Config is not
that's what I was gonna say.
It's not a bad idea either, right?
We go.
That's kind of where I was gonna go with it. I was gonna go with Vitality Config, actually. I think it's that's just such a better play. I think Dupree, put him in for Dupree's spots, and I think he's just, like, a better player right now. I don't think that, like, you kind of do need that asshole guy, because I think right now, almost, if you get someone to battle the Apex energy right now, then I think that's not even a bad thing, because watch, I mean, the way that Apex played at that World Final was so abysmal that it's almost like, if you just send Config there, is he gonna be like, Apex, stop fucking dying ramp, like, you're just seriously, like, spamming with an A4, we should know that this is not what you're supposed to do. The reason we could do it with the A1S is because there weren't tracers, and it was just, like, watching a car crash multiple rounds in a row, and, like, the driver just continuously made the same mistake over and over
keeps driving
again.
The wall over and over again.
Yes, like, yo, you gotta turn, you can't make this turn, you gotta slow down. Yeah, I think Vitality is the spot for me. I definitely wouldn't change Heroic right as it stands. But Vitality is a team where it does feel like there just needs to be that other guy that's ready to take point, because when we see this team and like with some of the struggles they have in mid rounds, it's kind of like, where is the next thing coming from if Apex is dead? Like, everybody kind of like Majisk and Dupree still have that sort of Astralis style where they want to like feel things out and take an advantage duel, but sometimes in a round you just can't take an advantage duel. You have to swing, you have to look for the next fight, and Config's always going to be that guy.
By the way, just as an aside, I'll give you like a mad confession, but it's true, right? Apex, you know, his whole antics and all the like faces he does, which are funny, and I'll give him credit, he's mega entertaining. That is actually semi-ruined for me though, because I can't, you know, when people did the ultimate meme collage, when they took the one of Apex, like, and then they took that one of Simple though, when he was like, and they made it look like essentially Simple was fucking Apex up the ass. You know the meme I'm on about, when they just put him behind the Apex meme like that, and it's like as though he's like, oh, like, that's just ruined Apex forever for me, because I've seen it too many times on Twitter, and B, like, I can't not think of that when I see him do that face.
You cannot unsee it
anymore. I know, exactly. I want to go there, because what do you think of this move?
The thing is, like, obviously it would have to be Tessus if it comes to Heroic. I don't think you can change anyone else at this moment. And the other thing with Vitality, first of all, Maui, like, when it comes to this, like, Apex theory, like, if Confi comes to Apex and says like that, tells him, like, you know, all the shit that he does, that would be sanctioned immediately.
Yeah, like, that's probably,
First of all, like, you know, stay in your lane. You know, if you have a constructive, like, you know, idea to tell me, like, listen, this move, I saw when I was holding lamp, I used to do this move, and, you know, we were doing, like, this smoke at this timing and whatever, that's fine. If you tell me, like, not to die, then fuck you. Like, because he didn't want to die. That's a job for Zonic. Zonic needs to be telling him, like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you know, you can't be dying like seven times on ramp, like spamming to the smoke and whatever, like, your point was. Right. But coming into the Vitality, you know, move, it would be the same like FaZe. You have Dupree, who accomplished beyond everything. He has an expiration date. The younger player is there. More motivated player is there. Sharper player is there to fill up all the roles that you need. And it would be a good move. But, you know, we're going to have to wait and see. I'm sure he's going to end up in some of these teams, right?
Surely.
I don't know which one, though.
Even though what's hilarious, by the way, is I actually think just the way that Blast World Finals went was just such a fucking great commercial, not only for his game, but the fact that he just fit the team. Like, he actually looked legit good in the set, and they were even playing, like, fucking Anubis, the brand new map. Like, I think you couldn't have almost, and also, crucially, I hope he actually understood this when I told him. Like, he just said all the right things as well. I even told these guys, this is how dumb pro players are. It's like, you don't have to even believe it. Just say what the people want to hear. Like, if you just say, like, I am very sorry and I'm learning from my... That's all they want to hear. You know, at least start. At least fake it till you make it, mate. You know what I mean? Exactly. Start out saying it. So he did a good job in that sense. No, the other thing as well I think's mad is, I'll give you an analogy. Even though I agree, he wouldn't really go in and just tear up Vitality. But I actually do think that might be a problem Vitality has, by the way. I do get the vibe. If you think of the team, right, the camps that they have in the team. I remember before they had Masuta, so it was like the French and the Danish. Now they've got like, the joke is Spinks just must be on his own, because they've got like the two French players, which, let's be real, that dynamic has to be a nightmare, because it's Ziwu, who obviously is meant to be there and is an amazing player, and it's Apex, where it's like, we're not really a French team anymore, so, you know, you are maybe surplus to the requirements. He's like, no, like, the connection, Ziwu, we're French, and I'm like, that's awkward as fuck. And then obviously you've got the two great Astralis players, but spoiler, this ain't Astralis, it's not 2019 or whatever, so like, that could easily get broken up, even though it's supposed to be friendly. So I could even imagine, by the way, the reason they've had problems in that team is, I bet they do have to sort of like be a little bit careful how they communicate, and they're probably like quite gentle with each other. What's great about sometimes adding an asshole in is, like, it's like you say, the real problem is this. It's not whether you'd tell Config to do it. It's like, there's no way he's going to sit there and keep playing. And as you say, someone keep making mistakes like that over and over again, and then just say nothing. Like, this is actually, I'll give you a quick anecdote. Why, back in the day, another reason I told Hiko, you have to get Simple into Team Liquid. Cause he was like, yeah, but he is really good. But if we sign him, like, I've heard he's got all these problems. And I was like, that's why you've got to sign him, because at the time Liquid had tons of problems. Like, Adren was their leader but probably shouldn't be, was AWPing, and they had, like, you know, the other players hadn't developed. And I was like, the best thing is, dude, he's not even gonna last, Adren won't even last like 3 weeks when he's in the team. Like, this guy's, the joke is, it'll either be Simple immediately out the team, or it'll be like Adren out, and then it will force you to either like fix everything or it'll just be ruined. So in a fucked up way, that might even also help on the Vitality one, because that's the other thing I hear about that team, by the way. When that team loses, it just look like people just go, oh well, see ya, I'm off to my room. Like, what? Like, you know, where's the fire? Like, what the fuck? You're supposed to be like, you're going for the moon, you know, trying to be number one. Like, what? So I do get a vibe.
I can't deal with these people who are like, oh yeah, we lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, see you tomorrow. I'm going to go to bed. Like, what?
Yes.
Like, I want some emotions. I want some desk slamming.
Exactly.
Something, you know, to happen. So we can, you know, just get
bring
past
back,
it. And,
you know, back in the day, that's one thing I used to love about devices. When he got the fire in his belly, he used to punch the fucking monitor when Astralis started losing. Like, all right.
Well, yes.
At least you know he's fucking mad about that then. Because it's device, for fuck's sake.
It was JW, like, Flusher, Crims, all of them were slamming. Every time we played them, it was a back and forth all the time. They beat us, we beat them. It's like, every time we played them, you can hear, like, after a few rounds, just desk slam. Bam. I turn around, Crims is just, like, going nuts on his desk, you know? And I like it. I want to see that. Like, obviously, he's not raging towards his teammates. Like, he dies and, you know, he slams the desk. That's stupid, right? But, like, if you want to, like, get some sparks going on, something, that's fine to do. It's just,
sure.
I have nothing against it. But, you know, it's... Config to G2 is so... I spoke Serbian a little bit. Config to G2 is also a decent move, which brings me to my next point.
Is this the big hot take? Come on.
Oh, yes. These people are going to hate me for this one, but I'm gonna cash in about 6 months from now. The thing is, like, this Blast victory right here is going to do more damage to Nico's legacy than if they actually lost this and were dead last. You know, this thing right now, this victory, this inflated win on this, like, golden, you know, super high money banana cup they played, basically is going to trigger the fact that they're going to stick with this lineup.
Yeah.
That's what I assume. And they're going to keep thinking, okay, we can do this. We can, you know, this is going to be great. And then 6 months from now, when they have zero titles once again, maybe one half banana cup, they're going to be making these changes. And Nico is going to be taking the IGL role or something classic, like that. They're going to be getting the aggressive player that we are suggesting for a year now. And they're going to we're going to be talking about this all along.
Yes.
And then we're going to be talking about that new player. And we need some time to, you know, adjust the team and everything that comes with it. So this victory, outside of the money they made, means absolutely nothing in terms of maybe a little bit in terms of confidence.
Okay.
In terms of like getting better, absolutely zero right now. It's going to damage more. I'm talking about Nico specifically here and his legacy as one of the best players to ever touch the game. He still doesn't have a major. How many years since he won the last big event? And I'm not talking about the Banana Cups. I'm talking about Katowice, Cologne, majors, all these like great IEMs, great events. How many years since that happened? And he's 25. He's not a young man anymore. He's not 20 years old. And you can say he's a young prodigy. He's 25. It's time right now. He has enough money to last him for the lifetime. Right now, his brand is so big, he can do whatever he wants. The money is not an issue. The legacy.
And let's be real. The other problem is Orkazan. He can go to any team he wants, pretty much.
Yes. Is his legacy gonna be like, you know, written down and remembered by playing in this team, in this lineup? I don't think so.
You hope not.
Absolutely not. Mm. They don't have a coach right now. That IGL played all right, called all right in this event. But let's not forget the last 3, 4, 5. Right? So this thing, for Nico specifically, is going to do more damage than the actual good. I'm going to cash that in in about 6 to 7 months.
Yeah, put a pin
in
that,
and I'm going to tag Maui in it as well.
There you go. By the way, this is actually, again, Mustad parallel thinking on this one. I had a similar take, but you've done it from the Nico angle. I actually just was doing it just from the angle of G2, and that I don't think this win's actually that meaningful, basically. So I'll pick up the same point, basically. Here's the problem. It's why, if you notice, this is actually an analytical tool I use, Maui, that no one else seems to use. You notice when, the best example would be like, let me think, who would be like a good example this year? I would say someone like, like the old Vitality lineup. There's a good example. The lineup they had when they had Masuta still in the team. What I always say about teams like that, when I've noticed, like, they've not only plateaued, but they're not even that good when they're, like, at their peak. I always say, if they're going into, like, a major or a Cologne, it would actually be better for them to bomb the event, because that would make you face, like, sort of the hard times of, like, right, we've got problems here. Whereas the problem is that one good run at the big tournament makes you think, oh, maybe there's something here. Like, oh, it could be like that all the time, and that just tricks you. So in this particular case, the reason I had written down, basically, was there's three factors. So one, and they're connected. One is you had already, outside of his personal situation, everyone thought this was Huxley's last LAN, and there was total uncertainty around him, except the certainty is he was probably getting booted. So already that means that the last tournament of the year, it's even got a new bloody map. All the teams are in weird up and down form, and we're probably kicking this guy anyway, right? That is going to make you, if you know the history of Counter-Strike, just play like a fucking no-pressure game. Just be like, you know what, just play the games, don't worry about it. Then add in that you had the personal tragedy as well. That probably just goes to 100%. It's essentially like, look, you think about the vibe you'd want to create in the scenario where he's willing to play after a personal tragedy. You actually want to tell him, look, the results don't matter. Just play, we'll see what happens, don't worry about it. If anything, it's the ultimate version of that. We can almost guarantee that was the mentality. So when you then win, and they did look awesome when they won, and they were looking great on the maps, and they were winning them in big fashion, and people were winning huge rounds. But the problem is, I do get the vibe of like, but none of those conditions will be before the other lands, so it'll just be back to normal. And unfortunately, I've seen back to normal, so I don't really buy the idea, unfortunately, that this was that mega. I actually think it was one of those ones where you just think like, right, it's the last tournament, sort of just blow out the fucking tubes, as it were, and just end on a good note. And unfortunately, this is the worst part. I agree as well, Kassad. I think actually, because of how badly they've done the last few months, and no major, if they'd even made the final but lost, it'd be like, that's okay, we can put the lamp to bed. But because they had to bloody win, if you know how people are in esports, like the temptation to just like not have to spend money and replace Huxley and to just keep him for the temptation is too high. I agree, because I don't think they'll just keep the lineup, unfortunately. And I even think, even worse, this is how fucked up, because obviously it's heroic that he was able to win in spite of his family scenario. I even think that, because it looks like such a bad PR move to be like, and you're fired after, not only have you had a tragedy, but you just won the last LAN. Like, that just looks bad on paper. Now, look, I'd be like Bill Belichick, like some arsehole, and just be like, I don't care, I want to win games. But like, a lot of people in esports now is about optics, I'm afraid. People will probably just keep him to look like the good guys, I imagine.
Exactly. I'm thinking about business. I'm thinking about the next year or so. Yes. If I'm Nico, I'm thinking about my own legacy right now. Yes. Hey, Maui, I'm going to ask you a question. You have 3 seconds to reply. And just to add to my banana right. cup point. So okay. who won the Blast Finals in 2019? One, World, two,
Navi.
Three, you lost. It was Astralis.
It was Astralis.
Who won the Berlin Major in 2019?
Oh, 2019. Oh, sorry. I was thinking last year.
No, who won the Major in Berlin in 2019?
Oh, Astralis.
Of course. Yeah. So we remember yeah. who won the majors. We remember who won Colognes. We remember who won Katowice. You know, who remembers who won Blast World Finals?
That's I was thinking you were saying last year. Nico's,
The Nico's legacy, you know, is going to be determined by the number of majors, by the number of big events, you know, not the number of World
no,
Finals.
No, I agree.
It's just so stupid.
In fact, I'll take it one step further. I'll just say this as well, Kassan. Okay. You're the reason why I agree with your angle on the Nico, which I didn't come up with. I was just going to do the GAKO angle. It's because it's actually even worse for Nico. I made this point on Snake and Banter. It's like, dude, people don't know because they've never gone and looked. If you ever go to that page on HLTV where it shows the trophies, it's really depressing for Nico. There's not many, and they're all like fucking shitty little blasts, and like you want a star ladder here. You know what? It's not like Cologne kind of 8-tier major. Like, it's actually mad depressing. Like, when you go there, you think, like, mate, I knew we'd like hadn't had the big runs because obviously G2 never wins, but like, this is way worse than you think. Like, in your mind, because he was in phase and G2 big super teams with players, you think he must have won something here and there. No, because it was all second place. So I agree. Go there, Maui. What was your take on this one? Go ahead, hit us.
Mine is the anti-hot take to this, which is that actually the RMR was the biggest fluke for G2 negatively, but I think that actually their other results are much more representative of how good they are. Because you look at actually when they started with this lineup, even the first thing that they did with Hooksy was qualify for the fall finals. They made it. They beat Vitality, who were using Sphinx, by the way, and that was the first event that Hooksy played. Second event they played was top four at ESL Pro League. We saw them, they literally choked. They choked that game pretty hard in the very last game, or their like playoff run against Vitality. Actually, but they were top four there. Then they fluked. I mean, it was a shitty fluke in terms of the other direction where they bombed out of the RMR, but then they started recouping. They started like actually putting the pieces back together. Fall final wasn't the best result, but then this one is kind of like more par for the course, I would say. I think G2 right now is a very solid top six team. Like, I think they're easily in that range. Like, I don't think I think going into Katowice, I think they're definitely making playoffs. Like, that's kind of the take I would make on this. Like, I don't, and if like making playoffs is a failure, then like with the level of competition today, then it's going to be really tough to live up to your expectations for this team, Kassad. But I think that with this G2 lineup now, like, I don't think we're going to see them bomb anymore. I don't think we're going to see them actually like not qualify for a major again. That shit is just never going to happen again if they keep with this 5-man lineup.
One mistake that you made in the whole, like, every point has makes sense, okay, when you look at it from the other side, but a guaranteed top six team, is it that good enough? If that was Simple, would you say the same? Like, is it good enough for Simple to be the guaranteed top six team? Absolutely.
I mean, that's
not.
Navi right now. Yeah, Navi right now is just the top six
Nico,
team.
Nico,
right?
Zaivu, and Simple are your Ronaldo, Messi, Mbappe, all these players. These players need to be in Real Madrid, yes. Barcelona, Paris Saint-Germain, Manchester City, not in the teams like Nottingham Forest and, you know,
mid-table
Olympic
teams
Marseille,
or whatever,
just yeah. mid-table teams, yes. right? It just makes no sense. So this player, yes. Nico, especially, needs to be in a team that is constantly top two, top three, always a contender for the title. Can you yes. name G2 as a contender for the title in the big events? Constantly? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Can you name them as top six? Yeah, I would agree with you on that one. But I'm just looking at Nico's legacy as the primarily thing because he's 25 now. He yes. needs to get at least 10 more trophies of the big ones. That's including the IEMs, that's including the majors, and all the things that are going with it. So he needs to have at least double digits for him to for his legacy to improve. Can he do it with this lineup in 2023, 2024? I don't think so. Can they be top six? Yes.
I agree, because there's the problem. I think it's just the perspective you're looking from, Maui. If you're like G2, maybe you're okay with that. If you're the other players in G2, not Nico, actually, yeah, being in a consistent top five, top six team's good. But that's the problem. If you are Nico, like Kassad set up with where he is in his career, like these are basically, like, if you're realistic, bearing in mind very few players ever do what Nico and Simple have done, how many years they've been at the top, you actually have to think quite cynically. Like, maybe I've only got 1 or 2 years left to do this level of play. So this level of play has to empower, like, all the things I want to do. I has to win win the major. I have to go for an era. You're not going to get another crack at it. So that's the problem. I agree. Like, for the rest of the G2 players, maybe. But if I have Nico, because here's the problem. If I'm thinking only from Nico's POV, then why is Nico signing up to that deal? If you tell him, like, Maui, what you just said, like, we're going to be consistent top six, we're not going to bomb tournaments, and he's like, well, then I'm out, then maybe I go to Vitality. You know what I mean? Like, why am I staying here then? I'm supposed to be in the team that's in the final every time, you know?
Because he signed a stupid deal. Sorry, Maui, but he signed a stupid deal because he was, you know, in this weird moment with G2, and he re-signed the deal for 3 years back in last summer, right now. And we were talking about, like, his age. He's 25. We were talking previously about Rain and Dupree being 28 years old and having an expiration date. Yes. Nico is just 3 years away from that.
Yes.
You know, yes, he's a better player, but still 3 years away from that. How many events can you win in those 3 years as Nico with this lineup? You can write off the next 6 months.
Sure.
If they keep the same lineup. And then what happens then? That 2.5 years left. So it's like, and there is, like you said, Maui, very competitive scene right now with Na'Vi, FaZe, and other teams, Liquid, and all these teams that are, you know, gunning for you, Vitality as well, Heroic, that are gunning for you right now. Can you make that double digits a reality if you're Nico in this team for the next 3 years? Absolutely freaking not.
Okay. I think I could take a point here or something, actually, if we want. Like,
yeah.
I think what would make this is just like a take on the format to make us care about Blast even more is I think that the grand final of the world final should just be a BO5. I think that would make things feel a little bit more epic there. I feel like it would actually give a little bit more gravitas to the game. Also, I think it would help their viewership numbers. I think that's just one thing where the numbers came out from ES charts already where, like, the peak viewership for this event was lower than actually their spring groups, fall groups, which is, like, that shouldn't be happening. Your world final shouldn't have less viewership than those events. And so making it a BO5, actually, I think would make us, one, care about the tournament a little bit more. It would also just play better for them in terms of their actual, like, the economic side of things, like, get more viewer hours on that. And it just doesn't really seem to make sense to me right now that the only BO5s that are happening are in the Cologne and Katowice. If Blast want to actually make a statement and try to actually push that narrative that there is a reason that the world final can match them, then use a BO5. I think we've all seen that it leads to the pinnacle of Counter-Strike. I don't think any of us would disagree that the best series this year was the Cologne Grand Finals. And that's because it's because we had the two best teams in the world, but we had the two best teams in the world at the earlier major, and it wasn't that good. And yet now, when it's a BO5, you see that they push themselves to the absolute limit. You see the depths that they have to go to and how much more epic every single play becomes when you know everything's on the line and all of these, the last 7-8 hours of them playing is all there at stake. So I think that's kind of my take for Blast right now, is that, like, start using BO5s. I know they've been very against these for, like, the entirety of them being a company together or whatever, but I think that it would make the world finals feel like more.
Yeah, to speak about Blast is, like, as a viewer right now, so somebody from the side, the production is pretty fucking good. Like, when you look at it, like, everything
it's
around it.
Phenomenal.
From what I understand, the player care is also very, very, very good. You know, nobody complains about anything. Everything is, like, from that side, everything seems to be on point, and it looks, you know, really good. But their tournaments, they don't feel like tournaments to me.
They haven't found a way to make us care like Cologne and Katowice, right?
Yes, exactly. I was going to say the same thing. Like, why isn't there, like, a Blast Copenhagen every year? Like the event in the calendar is called Blast Copenhagen or something like that. And then you can get, like, I know you're not the biggest fan of the crowd there, Duncan, but, you know, you can get the big crowd there in the arena.
It still gives an atmosphere, but, like, put it this way, that's the joke, Kassad, is because the fall finals is always the local one. The fall finals feels bigger than the world final because it actually has the banger atmosphere. Like, it's even, if you even think of the way it played out, it does feel bigger, yeah.
Yeah, if they throw out something like a Blast Copenhagen or some other city, it doesn't have to be like, but I see, when I see Blast, I tie it immediately in my head with Denmark and Copenhagen. That's how it works for me as a viewer from the side. I think if they change the format a little bit, best of fives in the finals, in that kind of Blast Copenhagen final, best of five, should be an interesting thing, you know? When you have like 8 teams right now, 6 qualifying for the playoffs out of 8, what kind of bullshit is that? Like, why don't we just have all 8 teams in the final and whoever wins 10 times in a row, that's like, it's just so stupid. And that needs to change in terms of Blast actually getting a tournament that I cannot call a banana cup anymore, but I can call a legitimate tier 1 big event rather than just a cup with a lot of money in it.
Sure.
And that's it.
Also, here's the other thing as well. It's true. I don't like that crowd when they cheat and when they're obnoxious to people, even other Danish legends like Carragher or fucking Major Wins. Like, yeah, that does annoy me. But even so, you have to put everything in context and perspective. So, like, I don't like the fact that the Danish crowd try and cheat and shout, like, shoot the guy. The joke is in Brazil, they go, like, shoot him for real. Like, so there's levels, guys. There's, you know, at least that's just inside the game, for fuck's sake. You know? I can't handle it anyway. So, I also do agree in general. Like, one thing I did notice about Blast World Finals is this is where the difference between something that in theory sounds amazing and in practice just doesn't feel as good plays out. Because I actually naively, when I looked at that event on paper, I was like, this is fire. Because look at it. It's all best of threes. It actually is basically like top six or seven teams in the world. It's fucking amazing. But it doesn't at the end feel like a Kolona Karvitsa. One of the reasons I have to say why, as much as loads of those games are like shit, man, because there's so many teams and the scope feels huge and you start all the way over here and then suddenly you get down to six and four and two. It just feels like more of an epic journey at the big ESL events. I actually think the format is, unfortunately, even though it might on paper sound better, it's actually sort of like playing against the epicness of the event, though. That's the other thing. Because right. Remember, especially with those play-ins now, that's why Kelowna kind of makes it just unbeatable, in my opinion. Because it feels like every actual good team has a crack to enter the tournament. And then it is just like, that's why it feels like a major. Because, you know, the joke is, that's why Katowice and Kelowna are actually better than majors now. Because the qualification system's better and ESL just invites all the top-ranked teams. It's actually like what you want them major to be, is the joke. Meanwhile, Blast, they're actually at a good level now, but, and especially compared to when they did all those BO1s, like, those are the most ridiculous banana cups ever, mate. Those ones where you just won like three BO1s that are best of three or whatever, like, those were ropey as fuck. But even so, these aren't that much better, because I agree, if you've got the production they do and the money they do and the teams, like, guys, like, you, all you do is tweak it and you can be there with the ESL. You can go head to head. And by the way, how sick would it be if there was like two big blasts that felt like kind of eats and clone, as well as majors? There'd be six. There'd be six events each year that are like fucking like tennis grand slams. That would be so sick. That would be so sick. I'm with you.
Exactly. It's like in the locations of these grand, like, global finals. I don't know what's up. It's Bahrain in 2019 and 2022. It was like Abu Dhabi now. I mean, why? What's the point?
There are answers, but those are sort of geopolitical answers, because I agree with you. I just like to ask abstractly, like, but why?
Oh, okay.
Why these things? We'll never know. It's a mystery. Right? Here's one of mine. I've got a hot take for you, guys, because I will say, unfortunately, Cassad's actually inadvertently like cannibalized all my points. My point was going to be that one about fucking G2 at Blast, and then I had the one about outsides. But I've got a good one for you still, because I've thought this one through a lot. Right, one thing I've been thinking about this year is, like, no matter what fans on Reddit say, Simple is going to be the number one player of this year and is the number one player of this year. Like, I know it's stats-wise, we might look close. Spoiler, that is by definition like a disingenuous argument, guys, because what you're doing there is saying, you know, Ziwu can look exactly as good, only in stats, by the way. I'm not even talking about eye tests. Just exactly the same stats by not going into more deep games. Well, no shit, fucking professor. In that case, the guy who had the same stats but went deep is better, isn't he, a moron? He's playing better teams and against, you know, like that. You've actually made the opposite argument there. So anyway, that's by the by. I got triggered by that. But the point is, when you look at Simple being number one, because of how, not only for Navi, but his play, the last few months have been so much of a drop off for Simple and so dire. And then when I think across the whole year, it's like, I've always thought this year especially makes me think we almost need like a different stat system for Simple, because he does do that shit where like the ratings don't make sense, Cassad. Because when I see Simple have an average as fuck game, you go and look and the stats are that he'll have like a 1.23 rating, and I'm like, bro, if that was Stown, that's like the best series of his life. Like, if I watched the Stown, if you showed me that rating for Stown, I'll go get the demo now. Whereas if you watch the Simple one, this is why I feel like he's doing something. I don't know if it's because he just gets all the eco kills, or kills are just so easy for him, but he can have games where for real he gets like 23 kills and he's done nothing in the game, I'm telling you. Like, he hasn't won them rounds. Somehow impact for Simple is just different. So what my hot take is this, spicy as fuck. My hot take is, if you think of all the different years of Counter-Strike, so obviously Simple was the Don for the last few years at the top. Then we had Ziwu, which is fucking pretty secure as well, if you remember that one. Then before that, Simple again. Before that, Cold Zero, had those 2 years, which were fucking phenomenal. If people forget, like, the floor on Cold Zero's game was fucking, it might not have been the craziest ceiling, but the floor was ridiculous. Like, every tournament, I'm telling you, if you go watch in 2017, even when they lose in, like, semis, he's still the best player in the server, mate. Like, I thought he was unreal. 2016 as well. Then you go to 2015, that was the Olofmeister year. By the way, if people forget, look, the stats aren't going to be anywhere near simple years for Olofmeister. But you go and watch the eye test on Olofmeister. This was an incredible impact player. Everything was based around him and his team. So you've got, this is the hot take. I actually think this year is the worst player from a number one ranked player since Get Right in 2014, because that was the year when Nip was falling off and it was like up in the air, it was the top. I think it's like the worst since back then. I'm not hating either. Like, I just think actually the numbers are going to look bonkers. Like, look, at the end of the year, he'll still have numbers that are probably bigger than Olof's in those past years, but I don't think the eye test shows up. Like, I think actually this is me. This is why, you know, Simple's a fucking goated player, Cassard, because you know that line that Aaron Rodgers had a few years back where he had that year when the first year with Matt LaFleur, he had like numbers that were down a little bit. But because it's Aaron Rodgers, the numbers were still like, you know, 28 touchdowns, like 4 interceptions. He had that line where when he got his MVP numbers back, people said, like, what about that down year? And he had this banger line where he went like, yeah, the thing about me is a down year for me would be a career year for most other people. That is just who Simple is. So just because Simple's this great, guys, we can't, you don't just give him a pass. Like, it actually has been a down year for him, even though he is probably number one.
He can say that to 99% of the players right now. The exact same line. He cannot say to Nico or maybe, you know, Zaivu and a couple of more players right now. But everybody else is going to be, you know, can just listen to that. And yes, that's going to be the hard truth right now. And Simple is this year obviously the best. And you just look at the fact, like, the Na'Vi on this year, they had one insignificant Banana Cup title in May. And that's it, right? Couple of finals. It was the first half of the year belonged to FaZe with their, you know, results. And the second half, we already discussed it and how tragic Na'Vi was in that, you know, yes, in that later on tournaments. And he still finds a way to put up the numbers that are ridiculous. And if you want to, like, challenge it, who do you challenge it with? Nico, obviously not there this year. Zaivu as well. You talk about Exile, Shiro, still not there. It's just, there is nobody to contest him at this point, yes, right now. And Na'Vi has a shit year. So what happens with Na'Vi has a whole year good? Let's say Electronic goes back to his, you know, play, and Bid goes back to his position. They get a decent IGL. It doesn't have to be a superstar IGL. It has to be a decent IGL. And Na'Vi gets his, you know, their shit together and start winning again. What are the numbers going to be like again in the next year? And that ties to the point, can G2 or any other team, you know, catch up with them? Earth Simple, you know, it's just like it's ridiculous how Simple, how good he is at this point, or in the past years as well. I even think personally that those years where Zaivu got the number one, I think Simple was better. You know, all respect to Zaivu and his, you know, talent and greatness, I think I would put Simple in front of him.
Yeah, I would say that one thing that actually really hurts Simple in terms of, like, even though I do agree he's going to be number one this year for sure. Like, if anybody else is number one, I'm just going to flip it. Like, I'm just going to... The HLTV hegemony, it needs to die. Like, that just can't happen. But I think that the biggest smudge against, or, like, the biggest mark against Simple this year is that, like, the elimination games at the major that he played, obviously one was the grand finals in Antwerp, but then the one against Furia also comes to mind, or just, like, they're seared into a lot of people's brains the way that how poorly he played against Furia and against FaZe, and I think those really work against him. But if you look at just the other tournaments that he played, like, in some of the losing series he had, he did very well. Like, it's not that he was even, like, just always choking in these big games. It's that his team let him down more times, yes, than not. And then you would say that the losses that he had to Furia and to FaZe in those major moments, kind of a symptom of the team a little bit. Yes, he definitely could have played better, but, like, you're not pinning the blame entirely on him. But I actually really like the point that you're saying he's, like, the weakest number one, because you do look back at some of those other years, and it is unbelievable how good some of these people were, and how clear-cut, I would say. Like, it wasn't even necessarily always clear-cut, like, when Zaivu was winning number one, but just the level that Simple and Zaivu were both at in those years was so high, it was better than what we're getting from Simple this year. I really think that this is another year that actually, like, a player like Shiro or like Zaivu could have taken down as number one, because it did feel like we saw some weaknesses from Na'Vi, from Simple, but it's just that Vitality just really didn't get their shit together until, as I don't even know if they really have it together, like, you know, so that's tough.
If you watch enough of my content, surely you can fill in the blanks, right? If someone doesn't like the classic first-time deposit bonus of 50% on 200, up to 200 USDT, what is the alternative? Say it quickly. That's right. It's bet forgiveness up to 100 USDT. Make a bet for your first time with crypto on the site. If you lose it, then message the mod mail, discord.gg/esportsbet. Tell them that you lost it and Last Free Nation sent you, and they'll credit you up to your original stake. Ain't that a bonus? Do we have
You have one? Yeah, I have another point that let me go with this one. I think that there's like a case for who's coming in second place right now, and the way I would hand out my second place this year for overall player would actually be Zywoo. And I think that this is something that by the numbers, by placement in tournaments, very similar to Shiro. Like, Shiro, like, kind of has weird stats because his style of play is so drastically different than other carry oppers, where he's always trying to save, it feels like, and then he does get inflated stats. So you would want to take him down a peg or two. It's not like Zywoo doesn't do that, but we know that the levels that Shiro does it, it's almost Jame-esque. Like, he does save an awful lot. But I think that one thing that I think in terms of the narrative that helps Zywoo a lot for me is that he switched to a completely new language this year. And I think that's something that he's not necessarily getting that much credit for, that Vitality switching to English at the very beginning of 2022, and yet Zywoo, at the beginning, we saw him stumble. We saw some of the difficulties he had with it. Like, there were people flanking him in ways where I was like, is that Zywoo that I'm watching? Like, it felt unbelievable that he was getting caught off guard the way he did, but by just maybe 4 months into the year, he was pretty much back to where we expected him to be, and that's with switching to another language, and that's with having a team that they knew was flawed. And so I think that despite all of that, despite everything that was going on with his team, he still found a way to put up incredible numbers. He still secured a trophy at Pro League and by being the best player. So I think that eye test on top of that, it just does feel like he's having more impact than Shiro in most games. I think that Shiro kind of like flipped the switch at the major where he went god mode for Cloud9, but I think that Zywoo is doing that every single tournament we watch him in.
Yeah, I think I would agree. I mean, I have had to put number two on the list for 2022. It has to be Zywoo. I think you said it nicely when you compared like the teams and the state of the teams. You see Cloud9, they were in this organization for what, a year, since June or something, right? And they were in Gambit before, but they didn't change the lineup. It's the same lineup, the home native language they're talking, you know, and they have been a long time together. Meanwhile, we have Zywoo, who is like, you know, changing the language first, obviously changing the teammates and the system with a new coach, with everything else that's going on. You said he was flanked multiple times in different situations. It just proves that the team is not really there yet, and the change of was it Misuta for Sphinx in the middle of the year. So many circumstances that were like kind of going against him, and then he still put up the numbers. And in my opinion, Vitality won a bigger event than Cloud9 in terms of Pro League and then rather than Dallas. So all in all, Shiro is still close third, but in the second place impact-wise and the numbers-wise, I think I would put Zywoo, yeah.
Yeah, I also actually had Zywoo's my number, Zywoo, I call him, my number two for 2022. Like, put it this way, I think eye test wise, I think he also wins as well. Like, Shiro is a bit more of a defensive AWPer, a bit more passive. I think he does rely on team, setup, help, all that jazz a bit more than Zywoo does. But also, if you just want to go, I mean, you can go stats wise or even just think about these factors. Like, one of the other things about Zywoo that is unbelievable, him and Simple are basically the aliens in this respect. They're like equally good on T-side and CT-side. What? They both just get opening kills out the ass all day long. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, that's the point. Other people, if these two guys didn't exist, it'd be the most interesting combo ever. It'd be like the NFL with just like a million talents of wide receivers, defensive backs and quarterbacks. It isn't. These two guys are just too good. Like, Shiro's really good in certain circumstances with this team on this, you know, these guys are just good all the time, mate. Like, this guy opening kills all the time. Both sides of the game. Pistol rounds, clutches, AWP. He's also really good with the rifle. Like, give me a break. Like, whereas if you think about Shiro, it's like, I want him on a certain map, probably on CT side, with help. I want him to have the AWP. I want him to be in a situation, you know what I mean? Like, how many fucking conditions do I need? For the other one, it's like, I just want Zywoo. I'll just take that. I'll give you that angle and I can start working. So I agree. I'll take him number two as well. That's one thing, by the way, maybe I'll spin that into a hot take. Here's the hot take. This is going to hurt people's feelings because it is low-key part of why. back why it's always been mildly awkward that our mates with Yanko and Cassard, etc. Because obviously they have then the mutual connection to the game will restart in 1 second from HLTV, who, look, he isn't actually even now the one who does everything. But to me, the joke is because they're like the heretical false church to me. I always made him like my Luther. It's like he's the one who must be excommunicated, like disagree with all of it. And obviously from back in the day, to be fair, also HLTV is way more in line with what I think now. But they used to be have some really wacky ones back in the day. Certain Brazilian guy number two in 2016. Anyway, you know, just, whatever. Don't know why that came to mind. Weird. Just came to the top of the dome there. So, spoiler, not for 1 second in his motherfucking life better than Nico, but you can do whatever you want with your lists, mate. You do what you want. Here's the hot take. I actually think the reason why this is a meaningful discussion to have is, in my opinion, the first Ziwu year, even though I also gave him it that year, I mainly did it because they did all those wacky changes in Na'Vi where Blade made Triple B the Krieg and they had fucking shitty Guardian came in. I thought that did sort of tank some of his play. So I gave Ziwu the first year, right? I never gave him 2020. I thought that was egregious as fuck. I think you go back and watch that, that might even be Simple's best year, even though it's online, mate. It's unbelievable the games he's dropping there. So I do think, though, that when they gave Ziwu the one in 2020, that did make me think, like, is part of this like the media thing of you trying to make it controversial? Because what they did when they gave Ziwu it the second time, by the way, was they did this in your brain, right? We've all just said Simple's the GOAT in 2018, but someone else got back-to-back world number ones before him. It's like you just made the sexiest tabloid line, and I think that is bullshit. The reason why I say this is, do that if it's just like a, if you did a personal, if Maui Snake did like Maui's top 10 players, yeah, do what you want. But if you're going to do it like this is the website, you're trying to be like, you know, authoritative, you have to do it legit. So I'm sorry, I don't want it to be like the NBA where they're like, well, we don't want to give LeBron the MVP because he had it quite a lot. It's like, no, if he's the MVP, he should, because at the end of history, I'm supposed to look and go, right, Michael Jordan had like a billion MVP. This guy, I'm supposed to know that that's how great he was. Like, for example, famously now, people will know this one. It now looks really bad on the NBA that Kobe Bryant has one MVP ever. That looks fucking terrible when you consider how good he was. Like, he was like 10 years the best player, basically. Like, that looks really bad now. So that's one reason I do worry about that. Because on paper, the last 2 years, it was obviously who gets second, right? But the spicy one is you let it go like they do. You let it go to there's three names left. And then everyone's going, right, it's going to be like Shiro. And then all you need is that one time at Ziwu. Everyone's, oh my God. Like, you're going to get infinite page views. And so that temptation, I do worry that they might lean into that. That's one thing I'm a bit nervous about. So I hope they don't. I hope they keep it legit. Keep it legit.
I'm pretty sure it's gonna be seen. But it's like, it comes to like this football, you know, Ballon d'Or, right? When you have Messi and Ronaldo, and you have like Simple and Ziwu, it's like, you know, they switch.
Oh yeah, I think it's a good analogy.
It was Luka Modric once for Croatia for when he was in Real. That could be Nico, you know, yes. But he wasn't. But yeah, whatever. Anyway, so you can look at both players. You can see like they, like you said, they're both on good. They're both good on CT and T sides. You know, they can open up on every with every rifle. They can close out with every rifle. They can do everything. Simple to football. Cristiano Ronaldo can score with header. He can score a free kick. He can dribble. He can, you know, play defense. He can do whatever. Same Messi is the same. We saw it in the World Cup. Everything that he can do as well at the end of his career. So it's a good like comparison between, you know, football right now and the best player in the world yearly, you know, in the Counter-Strike. So, but to talk about this year only, I don't think there is going to be any doubt that it's going to be Simple, then Ziwu, and then probably Shiro. And the only, I'm not sure it's going to be the fourth place, it's going to be Exile or Nico. That's the one for me that I'm not really decided on, or I don't know which direction it's going to go.
Yeah, I mean, for the Nico Exile thing, I mean, I think actually now Nico has more of a case than, because I said last episode, actually, I had Exile as my rifler of the year. This World Final, actually, it could have tipped the scales. I haven't really, like, hunkered down and looked at it as closely as I did for last episode, but it's damn close. But I actually think, like, this is a year that, as surprisingly, like, the number ones of everything this year were pretty obvious. I think, like, best team, FaZe, best IGL, Kerrigan, best player, Simple, best series of the year was Cologne Grand Finals. Like, a lot of things were just very clear-cut. And if you have a differing opinion, it's probably that you just think that the second best thing is different. And one, actually, other second best thing I want to bring up here is that... I already mentioned it, is that Kerrigan was the IGL of the year, but I think that the second best IGL of the year...
He's going to say Jim. Come on.
It's James.
You cocksucker. Come on. Like, listen, listen, fair play. This is the show for that. You understood the assignment correctly, but come on, hit us with the reasons.
Cannot be true.
Come on. No, but let him do it. Come on, hit us with it.
It's James because of, again, like, adversity. Adversity was what the biggest thing that held back, or like that should have held back James from making this lineup work, to actually come together to find a major trophy with Norbert. You made Norbert into a winner. Like, you made Kickard on a down year into a major champion, and you brought up Fame, who was an up and comer on K23, but actually look as good as he did. Like, it's unbelievable what James did this year in terms of like finding that win right there and making everybody have to respect outsiders in the way that they do now. Like, this team could have easily fell by the wayside when they lost Buster and Yekindar. The main narrative with Liquid is Yekindar and what he brings to that team. So in retrospect, it's like, shouldn't he have taken something away from outsiders? But in fact, they actually got better. Like, there's actually a case to be made that outsiders would not have won that major trophy if Yekindar was on that team. Like, that's also a hot take in its own, that basically because of the style that Yekindar plays, he wants to actually always be that point of emphasis. He always wants to be the way that the rounds start, and that sort of style was in some ways like expected from opponents, and Yekindar's performances would be too tightly linked to how the success of outsiders was. Yeah, exactly. And then so often he would actually just die, and then they would maybe try to go for a trade, and then they'd save in a 3v5. But the way that James called and changed things for the major was that he just ran more team. He ran some more team plays. They ran more calls out of spawn, some things that were a little bit faster like that. But then worked with numbers as opposed to sending out that singular spear tip for them. And I think that what James did there was more impressive, because I think the only other cases right now for second best IGL are Cadian, Apex, and Snappy. And I think that Snappy fell off way too hard this year with that new Ents lineup. They never really got going after losing Spinks. I think Apex, people already like don't really buy the eye test love what Vitality's always doing, and I think that kind of counts him out of this. Also, the games are just super lopsided. Like, is the game plan just to get Zywoo going? Like, whatever. Like, if that's true, then I don't know. Like, then that's not really a good game plan, is it? And then the other one, Cadian. I think that Cadian and James are incredibly comparable here, especially because I think Heroic had more success throughout the year, or just had deeper placements throughout the year. But the thing is that in terms of what Cadian had to do, he kind of just like kept calling the same style once they got Yabby, but Yabby just got better. So I actually almost credit the improvement from Heroic to be more about them doing that player swap than actually Cadian being an excellent IGL. He is a great IGL. He's one of the best IGLs right now in the world. But I think that James this year put together a more compelling performance as a leader, and that's why I would give him my second best IGL.
That's so funny, because like, you took Snappy and you just said like, okay, no, whatever, you know, they couldn't, you know, handle it, the swap and everything, but you completely forgot the first part of the year, first 6 months, and then you took James, and then you completely forgot their first part of the year as well. It's like, you know, when they were like really bad. And at the beginning of at the end of the first season, they were super bad. They changed the players. They had one event, which me and Yanko and Trace, I think, did in Belgrade, Rubet Cup or something like that. I can't remember.
Yeah, it was online cup.
Yeah, something like that. And it's like, you know, they played there. And after that, they won the major, which is a big thing, the biggest thing ever. But outside of that, they didn't really do much. Dead last here, Pro League wasn't so good. Was it quarters or something? And the other events...
They made playoffs at the first at Kato. They made playoffs at Kato, like, to start the year. So it wasn't like they were just in the dumps completely.
But just look at Heroic then. Like, Heroic did much more throughout the year. And that's why I would put Cadian maybe as a number two there. But I cannot put James simply because of that, you know. Yes, he did a great thing with Norbert and, you know, Fame and everything that he's been happening to them. But overall, the year, we cannot forget what Ents did in the first 6 months. We just simply cannot forget it, you know, or what Heroic did throughout the year as well. So it's a questionable, you know, decision or a call for you at the very least, because I wouldn't just dismiss the first 6 months from Snappy. You know, the lineup they had, build it from zero, you know, just get into the finals, major semifinals too. It's like a lot of things. They didn't manage to win any single, but they played constantly deep in playoffs, which is something that the other teams didn't. So, you know, it's a battle between Cadian and Snappy. Again, two Danish players.
Yeah, I will say, I actually agree, sort of, like, Stappy's a bit overlooked. He did have the Pro League final, semis of a major, etc. And if you just look at those pieces, like, the joke is, you yourself are a mad critic of fucking Spinks. He made Spinks look like a genius, mate. He made him look like the most surefire rifle talent for you since someone like Nico or something. Like, he looked outrageously good. And so what I'll say is, I actually think it's Canadian as well. And the reason why is, I actually think, and look, I'd have to go back to double check, but from memory, dude, even some of their losses, he was calling a great game in. Like, if you go to the PGL Antwerp Major, where they lose to on Nuke in the third map to Na'Vi. Dude, he has them in a bunch of great T-spots. It's just that people like Electronic shoot you in the head, Simple shoots you, you know what I mean? Like, I've always said for IGL, I don't judge it based on, like, the pure results. Like, if I watch the game and you're getting into the sites and you're getting opening kills and you're putting the people in the right position, you are doing your job. That's why also, to be fair, like, there's a reason why, even though there wasn't one continuous one, we wouldn't have had an RV IGL in this list, even if they'd have kept one person the whole year, because it was the players shooting people in the head. It wasn't the IGL doing all the moves. Whereas I actually think Canadian IGL is the one aspect of Heroic I have no problems with. I'm not a fan of as an AWP, I think you should get a better one. I'd, like I said, I would make more firepower for the team. Maybe I even think they're a bit pussy with the fucking veto, quite frankly. I think sometimes they don't take the edge, like, punish pick that they could. They, if you notice, there's nothing about Heroic, mate. They always just do the safe pick, but you just know what they're going to pick as a result. Like, that means the other team's going to beat you sometimes. So the one thing I don't dispute, though, is I do think Kenny did an amazing job as an IGL. I think he did a really great job. And if you look, it does look like he had all his team on the same page, win or lose. So I'll give it to Kenny. But it's a good, here's the thing, though. It's actually a very good hot take for the show, Maui, because to be fair, what makes it work is it sounds, again, so outrageous, but when you actually look, the others do fall apart. Like, obviously Apex isn't winning it this year. Like, as you say, Snappy's not that relevant now. Yeah, when you put it like that, actually, it's IGL race is actually more wide open after Carrigan, basically, of any of them. Like, actually, we're not in the era where there's, like, an obvious top three and it's always going to be that way. We're not.
We just have to take into account all 12 months, right? Yes. Rather than, you know, last two or something like that. Similar to G2, where we have to take into account the last, you know, ever since they made the changes and everything they did, and every other team as well. So it's but at the best case scenario would be that it's a wide open thing for the second place, rather than a cemented Jane thing.
I'll tell you one guy, though, that it's not in the running is Nafany. Nafany is not in the running.
That just catches a stray for no reason. I will say, though, to be fair, one thing you should do more of is that it, were you actually the one who came up with the Nafony?
Nafony, yeah.
Because if you were, by the way, anytime you do that, you should always do it because you want the effective line. Because that's like a Trump-esque line that does, it's a banger. You've got to keep that one going. Nafony.
Nafony's not in my top five.
Especially because, you know what makes it more genius is that he plays for an NA team even, so he's an NA phony, it even works.
NA phony, that's true, it's a double
he's on cloud nine, exactly. Go on, Cassandra, what are you going to say?
We are just, you know, pouring blame on the poor Nafony. Like, but the thing is, like, yes, it's his fault to some degree, right? But I don't know if it's 100%, because let's remember, their coach is the one that's, you know, constantly responsible for everything that's going on, including the vetoes and picking sides on the maps. Remember Pro League when they were, like, picking T side, everything? They it's not his decision, so he's running the team. So it's not 100% Nafany, but it's not zero, obviously. So I don't know how much is it with the coach and with the IGL, because they, obviously, like you said, I wouldn't put him in top five as well right now, considering the pieces that he had and has and the result they're producing and the organization they have behind them. So it's just like, you know, what are you doing? Why you're not adapting to the situation in Counter-Strike, to the meta, to the maps, to everything that's going on? Why are you still playing the same Counter-Strike like you did in the online era on IEM Katowice? You know, it's just the same Counter-Strike. And you're not doing it. Is it the coach's fault? Is it Nafany? That's what I want to know. You know, that's something that maybe if something changes there, maybe we get a better result from now, from Cloud9, sorry.
Right, I've got one last.
Complexity.
It's all good. I've got one last hot take. This might be the last one of the show we'll see. It's one that will. It's mainly, I have to say, it's sort of a shot at Maui, so we'll see how he takes it. Basically, here's my hot take, and I'm going to phrase it very carefully. And even I'm even willing to take the backlash of if they change a different player and they get better in some other way, I can't anticipate, I'll look silly and you can play this clip or whatever. But I'm just going to say it now. Like, even though they were in the final of Pro League, they were a round away from winning, they're obviously in the final here at Blastwell Finals, I actually think as long as Aussie is the primary AWPer of Team Liquid, they will never win an international tier 1 LAN. I think they will never win one. Because here's the problem, even at those runs, What more did you want to go right? You know what I mean? Like, at those runs even, you even have other players who, like, step up and do really well, and you have times, like, in this one particularly, this last one, dude, everyone almost was stepping up in this one. Like, this was almost, like, the best-case scenario, and then you got to the final, and you kind of just got dusted off by G2. Yeah, you almost beat the Vitality one. You almost got that one. By the way, that's the best Vitality's ever looked. Like, they actually looked fairly wax since then. So, like, look, it's true. The reason this is a hot take is they could actually have won that point. Let's be real. They didn't, though. And so I actually think also, here's another reason why I make this prediction, because I think actually the other teams are going to find ways to make moves in the next few months and level up, and so I think Liquid's just going to stay where they are, and they're going to be like, right now they are like fifth or sixth, but like they have a chance to go, you know, to a final or something. I think the thing I'm worried about is that they stay a similar level, and here's the problem: they've now had Ikenda a long time, guys. They're not going to suddenly make like some quantum leap. Well, this is probably who they are as a team. You look at their map pool, right? What map are they the best in the world on? That's a hard fucking question right there. They're pretty good on most of them. You can't really nail them up. So I think the problem is I can see them just becoming like number five, but they really are number five. Like, you come quarterfinals, you make a semi, you have one run to the final. I just don't think they'll win. So I know the people are all that hopium of like NA and like, listen, if you think how bad they were previously, it is cool that they're in the mix and they have games that they beat top teams, but I don't think they'll win a LAN with OC basically.
I actually talked about this on my last episode of like It's Server Time, and even though we have such an NA bias on that podcast, like, we were all kind of saying like the thing is that the leap that they need to make is just OC needs to hit 30% more shots, because he's set up for enough now that they, in the very beginning of this, like Yekindar coming in, they really did use OC like the typical support opper, and it was actually kind of frustrating because we're like, everybody was watching and we're all just thinking like, why is he not being set up for at least some opening kills? And you get that you want a Liege and Yekindar to be your point men, but you do want to use the best weapon in the game for getting opening kills to get them. But then now OC has some of that responsibility, and he's not always hitting the shots. And I think that's, it's sometimes as simple as that. Like, he's getting the opportunities, the setup's even there sometimes, and he simply just doesn't hit it. And that's something where it's really hard to expect that a player is just going to magically boost their skill. I think that this player break right now is usually not the time where most people are going to go to just grind and everything. And unless OC has that extra gear that he actually has, that like Kobe mentality where he's going to just stay in the gym from like 3 a.m. until 10 p.m. the next day, like, there's no way that I really see that he's going to make that leap. And the thing is that I think the rifle core is so strong, I don't think you should even change the structure anymore. Like, I don't think you should, like, they tried to help OC. They made some shifts, they made some adjustments to their openers to get him involved more, and it's still kind of leading to them to the same sort of results now. And so you don't want to take more away from Elige, and you don't want to take more away from Yekindar. Naf's already playing pretty bad spots, and he's still thriving in those bad spots. So it just kind of does come down to OC. And I think when this situation or when this change actually was initially made where they picked up OC, the way I described it like a year ago was this, like, the ceiling of Liquid is the ceiling of OC. And I think we're now seeing the ceiling of OC because they're now becoming this gatekeeper to the elite, but they are not actually a contender. Like, there's a little bit of a difference right there now. And then I think top five is a very comfortable spot for them to be in. I don't see them losing to teams that are kind of in the lower ranks very often. It does actually, in fact, they sometimes can upset a team here and there in a quarterfinal, like a Cloud9 who was ranked better than them at that time. But it is still very difficult to see them going blow for blow with the best teams in the world now that have Zywoo, Monacy, Simple, Shiro. Like, those teams just seem like they're always going to have their number because they're always going to have the optif.
Yeah, I think Liquid is exactly where they're supposed to be at this point. You know, they're not a finals team, but they're, like you said, top five, maybe. And the reason for that is definitely OC right now. And like you said, outside of him missing the shots in setups, which is happening way more than it should have, especially in the games that we saw in the Blast Finals and before that on the Major as well. It's like, outside of that, he's missing a lot of rotations. Like, if you see other ops, let's say Jame and Zywoo and different kind of ops, like aggressive, passive, doesn't really matter. They tend to find their own space, find their own gap, find the timings, create the timings for themselves. OC is not really doing that. He's just wandering around the map. I noticed that multiple times, that he's just missing the timing on the rotation, missing the timing on the grenades, missing the timing to create the timing for himself. Everything, the opportunities that that are presented to him, he's not taking them in many different situations, which leads to losing rounds, which is losing maps and the losing matches overall. I don't know if it's the fact that Yekindar and Elige, especially Yekindar, likes to play super aggressive, which tends to, put OC back in the back seat and like waiting for some secondary opportunity, or if he gets the spawn, or if he gets something, because the primary, you know, aggressive player is yekking there. I don't know if that's affecting him, or the calling, or the system, or whatever the case is, but definitely they need to look at that. I even tweeted about that. I don't know if necessary the benching or replacing him is the correct option, or actually, you know, doing something with him in game to actually improve his overall efficiency on the server. But so far he's holding them back from that, you know, semi-final, final, you know, on the regular basis kind of thing. So it is, luckily for them, it's a player break now, and before Katowice we have like another, what, a month and a half, and they have a lot of time to figure this one out. I hope they don't go deep into the vacation right now and just go on a boot camp on the 20th of January and just say like, listen, we're going to play 10 days and go straight into there, because they're going to get torn apart. Mm-hmm. Literally, they're not going to make playoffs there, not a chance. And simply because of that, they need to fix Dabs has a big task in front of him, and the org Liquid has a really big task to actually decide what they want to do with Osi, because he is not really delivering and they have nobody to replace him with. So it's a tough choice right now. I don't know who can step into that shoes.
I would say that one guy that is somebody that OC should probably try to model his game after is Wonderful. I think that they actually play like in the T sides, basically. Wonderful is like very frequently at the back of the pack, and he has aggressive riflers too. Like Patsy's flying at people, you know, like he's constantly moving forward, and yet Wonderful finds a way to find a lot of impact. And I don't think, like, we've seen how Safe had his drop off too, from when he was on Pain to when he joined Fury. He just kind of decided, I can't really op with this team. Like, it's tough. And I think that was kind of a team decision and his decision that he started rifling way more on the T side. And I think OC needs to either start to do what Wonderful is doing and start positioning himself as such, or he probably just needs to rifle more on that side. But then you like are wondering, why do we even have this guy? Because like he shouldn't be like that. You shouldn't just have another rifler that's kind of subpar just because he's from North America. If you really want a hybrid, get someone else.
The thing is, like, the maps right now, the Inferno nukes, you can do without the T side off. Like, you can model your game based, but do you want to do that or not? Obviously, Liquid is not playing Nuke, but, you know, Inferno can be played without an AWP easily. Yes. And you don't have to have it. Like, so it's easy, but the problem is the CT side. Like, if Yekindar is going in, exactly, creating space and creating opportunity for you to rotate and use your utility properly and position yourself to, like, get the important kill after Yekindar gets the space and the opening kill and gets traded after whatever, that's what you need to learn, to rotate properly around the map on the CT side and get those advantages that the other player created for you. And when you have the spawn, when you have the situation to go in first and go for the kill, you do it. Obviously, that's a much easier thing to say than to actually do, but that's something they need to strive to have him do. Otherwise, they're going to be ending up in the quarterfinals all over the place, and Liquid is not the organization they're going to be satisfied with it. They want titles.
Also, I'm going to invoke one of my classic analytical lenses that people like Maui haven't got yet. It's really advanced, which is the reason why you know OC isn't good enough is because his name still sounds silly. If he was sick, like Nico or something, that makes the name morph and become super. His name's like OC. It's like, what? It's like OC, Hooksy, fucking Dipsy, La La, and poor Team Teletubbies. Everyone fuck off. Like, you know what I mean? Who cares? It just sounds wacky. Even so, that just tells you, I'm sorry, it does. That tells you he hasn't done enough epic shit yet to like warp that. Because I've always said, if you go and look back in the day, like probably the best one ever is Get Right. Because Get Right, even that spelling would be so whack if he sucked. You know what I mean? Everyone would make fun of that. But because he's so legendary, it's actually sick. It feels like James Bond or something, you know, like, because he was just so good as a player. So I'm just gonna, and also I'll throw in there as well, that's actually why, as a real analytical point though, Kassad, I actually also think that it just doesn't work for Liquid. I think Liquid's like Furia. They're just a team that's played for too long with the stars as riflers, and they don't know how to use an AWP. Like, they don't know what a dominant AWP's about. They haven't got one, but they also don't know how it works. Like, in their teams, if they had twists, it would still be fucking the twists in Elise Shaw, same as in Furia. It's always going to be the case, or Yuri Shaw. Those are just those squads. I don't think even conceptually they know how to use a dominant AWP. That's why the joke is, I'm sure they did initially just model him after what Nitro used to do or something, you know.
Yes.
I'm sure that's what they just thought of when they brought him in and thought, if he's that good, it'll be great. It's like, well, the spoiler is, you don't have twists anymore, do you guys? Like,
I want to come back to the nickname.
Come on.
So obviously Nicolino was like before Nico.
Yes, that
right?
Used to be his name, right? Yeah.
Much better with Nico.
Way better.
I mean, but I want to ask you, like, Magisk boy or Magisk?
Omega sounds way better, yeah.
Who was actually better? Which player was better? Like
Magisk was a harder carry for his team, but Magisk was the better overall player.
That's what I wanted to hear.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, the boy realized he needed to reel himself in and then become a look for everybody else. Okay. I would say I think this is actually to put some pressure on Liquid. I think for this, I think that the two people that actually this has to come from, this change, it has to be Daps and it has to be OC himself, because when you do think about the history of some of these guys on the team and what they can provide in terms of assistance, Yekindar never had to think about his AWPer because he was playing with Jame. Like, Jame was so self-sufficient, and he was always going to do what he wanted. He was going to call his number when he wanted to. He played a passive style that just, like, let the riflers do what they wanted.
Someone call that selfish, not self-sufficient, but it starts with the same forward.
Both.
Letter,
so I knew you were going to say that.
It's all good.
I was waiting for you.
Okay, yeah, but
you have to understand, like, Maui is low key like the fucking PR agent for Jame at this point in time. He's doing a great job. He's the press secretary. Go on, keep going.
He's doing it for himself, winning a major and all that. Yeah, true. But okay. So then you think of like the IGL and Nitro and like the way that he used to play. Like, I don't think Nitro knows how to use an AWP. Like, I don't think he. I mean, his way was just basically like pick up the gun because we can buy it, and then I'm gonna try to just play the spots that AWPers play more or less. And so Daps is the only guy that has shown me in his history that he's actually made an AWPer better than what he should be. Because look at Cirque's fall off after Daps left the team. Like, it's just been precipitous and it's been gradual. It's been constant. Like, so I think
Daps. Sorry, that's EG.
Wait,
all right, you're gone.
He has his bias against EG, so it's all good.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from there. Yeah. But yeah, I think that Daps knows how to put an AWPer and make him a star. And I think that needs to come out a little bit more. But like I said earlier, I think that changing the structure too much means that you might take away something from Yekindar or Liege, which is not what you want to do either. But I do think that OC needs to find a way to basically, like, if he can perform at, like, even 90% of what Cirque was doing when he was at his prime, like, it doesn't even need to be a one-for-one do what Cirque did, then Liquid can win a trophy. But, like, it needs to be the biggest priority for Liquid in the player break is how do we activate OC without taking anything away from anybody else.
First of all, OC is nowhere near good as Cirque was. You know, he's like, the movement is completely, you know, different, and rotations are completely different, and the instincts are completely different. But I get what you're saying. The thing is, like, the problem right now is if you commit Daps to OC too much, what happens to the rest of the team and the structure? You know, if he uses all his time, this is where we go back to the coaching staff and all this, like, delegating the jobs and everything that you want to do. Because if Daps, I as a coach, if I need to focus on one thing, on one player, then the other aspects are going to suffer. And Liquid is in a position where they cannot allow anything to suffer. So it needs to be, you know, a joint effort between Daps, OC, and somebody else in the organization who will help him, you know, to kind of achieve what Daps wants from him to achieve, right? To become the player that he wants him to be and to help the team that they need, you know, that him to be. So overall, I think it's a very tricky situation right now, and not enough time for them, I believe, considering the state of NA teams and how long they like to, you know, go on vacations and stuff, and how much they hate boot camps and traveling and all this bullshit. So I don't think there is enough time. Let's just hope that OC can figure it out, a bunch of the things himself, and try to implement it in the game, and try to see if Daps can actually, you know, help in his own way to make him better. But yeah, I think that's the key problem for Liquid coming into 2023.